So welcome, everybody. This is Elaine Taylor Klaus with Impact ADHD, and this is the Tuesday afternoon Eastern Time, 2 o'clock, coaching call for the Parent Success System for the 2014-2015 school year. I promise not to say that every time, quite that detailed, but I wanted to be clear, this is the first call of the year. We're really excited that everybody's here and committed to making this an amazing year. So very excited to work with you all and really, really thrilled that we're finally here and getting started. So we're going to get started. Today is going to we're going to have definitely some content and some teaching, but there's also going to be some administrative kinds of overview. And so for those of you with ADD yourselves who have a tendency to get bored, pick up a fidget or a pen to play with, I promise I will keep it as quick and painless as possible. and I just want to remind you that we are taping. This is a conference call. Please introduce yourself by first name before you speak so that I can begin to hear voices and you can begin to hear each other's voices. And that way you can also look for each other on the forum when you know who else you're talking to. So in the way of introduction, first, has everybody on the call gotten or begun to get connected with the Facebook forum, the private forum that we have? Or is there anybody having any trouble with that?
This is Christine, and I have not received any information about it.
Christine, you have not?
No. Thank you.
Okay. Is the email address that we have for you the same email address that you use for Facebook?
I don't use Facebook.
Oh, well, that would be why. So do you have a Facebook account?
No.
Okay. All right. So we'll talk about that offline because, yeah, that's the only way to access the forum.
Okay.
And you are now. We now have two people who are having that issue, but for the most part, most of us do. Anybody else having trouble accessing the forum?
I just didn't. Yeah, it's Lauren.
And Lauren, say it again.
I'll try. I just didn't try yet. I didn't see
okay.
it.
Okay.
I didn't try.
Okay. Definitely try, and I encourage you to go introduce yourself. Tell people about yourself. It's totally private. It's only accessible to people who are coaching members of Impact.
I just look at my email to see if it's in there to, like, access Facebook. I'll look and see.
You'll probably be getting an invite from Diane via Facebook.
Okay. Can you make a note to redo it and see it?
I will. I don't know that we can redo it, but check your messages, and I will write a note that haven't seen the message yet.
Okay.
Okay. So that was Lauren, right? Okay. Anybody else? Christy, I know you're already on there.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen, Donna, you okay with the forum, with the Facebook forum?
Yeah, I'm on there. This is Kristen.
Cool. Okay. So Lauren, I will check with Diane about it, and Christine, you and I will figure something out.
Okay.
Couple of things about calls. I know a couple of people have said you're already still trying to figure out if it's going to be this call or another call. We're really fine with you, like, swapping calls if there's a week that you can't be at your call, or you can either listen to another call or attend another group. We would like you to try to select a group and stick with it and just let us know when you've landed. So if you find that this time isn't working for you and you want to do another one or vice versa, just keep up with us. Let Diane or me know so that we have a sense of who's where and what we can expect for each group, okay? And you don't have to let us know if you're coming. You just need to let us know if you feel like you're moving to a different group or the time is not working for you. We are going to be recording all of the calls so that you can listen to this call or other calls. That was one of the other things in the emails. Has everybody been to the members section of the website?
This is one person and I have
last
not.
Year.
Okay. Who said I have not?
Kristen.
Kristen. Okay. Anybody else not been there yet?
Lauren.
Okay. So the password for this year is success 2014. I don't even know off the top of my head if it's all caps or if it's caps and lowercase, so you may have to try both, but it's Success 2014. So write that down. When you go to the website, on the top right corner of the website is the members login. And once you get there, you'll click on it, and then you'll see something that says Parent Success System. And when you click there, that page is where all the information will be, the workbook and all of the materials for Parent Success System, the times of the calls and all of that. And then also on that page is where you can access all of the webinars, all of the recordings that we've ever done for Impact, as well as all the recordings for the group program for the Parent Success System. Let me just check in. Who just joined us? Hi, who just called in?
Leanne in Mississippi.
Hey, Leanne. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good. This is Elaine, and
yeah.
We were just starting to do some administrative conversation.
Okay.
So we've talked about Facebook, and we're talking about accessing all of the recordings on the member section of the site. So you go to the members login, which is on the top right corner of the website, and the code for this year is Success 2014, and then once you're in there, you can access any of the recordings for the Coaches Club as well as any of the webinars we've ever done on the site. So it's a great resource. It's a good place to know.
Okay.
Any questions about that?
No.
Okay,
it is a capital
else?
S, by the way.
Say it again.
It's a capital S. I just logged in.
Great. Is it lowercase? It's like S.
Capital S.
Lowercase? So just capital S, Success 2014, no space.
Yes. Yes.
And that's the password to get in, and that's your portal to all the materials you're going to need for Parent Success System, as well as all the webinars we've done. And so just remember, that's where, for the weeks, if you do end up missing a call and you're not able to make it up on another call, schedule the time for yourself on your calendar to listen to a call that week. Try not to let it pass. You got 2 weeks to get it in. And you're more likely to get it in if you schedule it.
Okay.
This is Lauren. I wanted to know, is the rest of the letters capitalized or just the S?
Sounds like just the S.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And it's also in one of the emails you got.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions about some of the administrative stuff? So everybody should have received a copy of the first section of the workbook. You're going to get a workbook that's going to go for the whole year, but we're doing some revisions on it, so we just gave you the first couple of sections for today, and then we will get the rest of it to you in the next couple of weeks. And so what we do ask is before each call that you read the section for that week. And in the email that Monday, we will tell you what we're going to be covering that week, which week it is. We try to make it as simple and clear as possible. So it's really helpful if you read the workbook before you come to the call.
And Elaine, this is Christine. Are those emails with the workbook sections coming out on Monday? I haven't seen anything with a I guess it came out Monday. All right, I see.
You get an email. You're going to get an email every Monday that says Monday members mailing or something.
Got it.
And that will basically set you up for the week. That's going to tell you whether your group is meeting that week or not, what the subject is of that week, and what pages to read in the workbook, and any other information. And on the weeks that we're not meeting, we usually try to cover. This is what we talked about in last week's call, and then we give you some continued reading or some other blogs or articles on the site, that kind of thing.
Okay, great.
Okay, so it's designed to give you a structure every Monday to sort of pause and think about, focus on, like, what am I paying attention to in terms of parenting this child this week? Okay?
Mm-hmm, okay.
So it's a little bit of accountability, a little organization, a little pause. Which is really a great way to look at what coaching is all about. It starts with pause, and just taking the time to think about the issues we're challenged with goes so far in making a difference with helping these kids. And then sometimes we need some organization, some training, some accountability around it to really make the changes we're trying to create. So kudos to you all for being here and for making that commitment, because I really think, as Christy can attest, that you're going to find a lot of changes that you never even imagined begin to happen pretty quickly just by making that commitment and paying attention in a very different way. Christy, would you agree with that? Now that I've put
you on
the spot?
Definitely. Definitely.
Okay. So any other questions about administrative stuff before we talk about the way the calls are going to run? Okay. So occasionally there are going to be pauses, just like I'm going to wait and make sure nobody's has a moment to think, or give people a chance to have slower processing speed, a chance to process their information and get their thoughts together. So occasionally on these calls, you will hear some pauses. You'll hear some quiet space. That's really okay. We don't need to fill the space because everybody's doing their own thinking and their own processing, right? And with
yes.
that, let's talk about the structure of the call, okay? So here's how it's going to go every week. At the beginning of every call, we're going to start with a check-in, and I think we'll do that today by letting everybody introduce themselves. But we're going to start with a check-in and just, you know, how's it been going since the last time we talked? You know, at the end of every call, you'll be making some commitment or decision about something you want to do. So maybe we'll check in and see how it's been going since then. Sometimes people will get on and say, well, I forgot what I was supposed to be working on, but this is what has been happening. That's not uncommon. But it's a chance to just sort of touch base with each other before we get started. And then we start every call with what we call taking aim, and it's the first step in our action model that we're going to talk about today. And to me, it's probably the most important thing that we do every week and with every time we coach anyone. It's getting really clear on what are we talking about here? What's important that we want to see changed? And when we take aim, we'll begin to coach you a little bit around getting very specific as you take aim. So it's not just I want to take aim on mornings, but it may be specifically getting my child out of bed or having him set the alarm or getting through breakfast or, you know, whatever it is. But we want to help you target the challenge so that you can really see some come up with a solution that's going to help and see some lasting success. And we find that the more specific we get with the targeting, with taking aim, the more effective it will be. So we will do that at the beginning of every call. And you know, we encourage you to come to the call with a topic that you want to work on that week. And if you don't, you will probably hear something from one of your peers that will sound like, yep, I could work on that. And so oftentimes we'll hear somebody say, I need to get started. We're having trouble getting started with homework. And before you know it, half the group has said, yeah, I'll do that one too. So try to come with your own call, but don't stress if you haven't, because something will come up to you quickly once you're with the group. So we will start with that. We'll take aim, and then we'll have a topic of the week every week that Diane or I will teach on, and so we'll take a little time to address that, to teach that topic, and it's really a coaching skill or a coaching strategy or a tip. We've gone through and identified what we think are the 18 most important topics for parents to pull from the coaching world to really use to help these kids most effectively. So each week we'll talk about one, and then we'll have a discussion, and I really encourage you to have a discussion about it, to not just let it be a one-sided conversation, but to engage in it. And then after we do that, we'll ask for a volunteer, and we'll do a little laser coaching. The laser coaching is a way for one person to take the topic that they're working on that week and to get a little more progress made on it. And it's very wonderful, because while one person is getting the coaching, everybody else is benefiting from it at the same time. In fact, Christy, you have anything you want to add about that or talk about what that experience is like from either side? Would you? Can I put you on the spot again?
Sure. Yeah, like you said, I mean, the common issues with ADHD, like the core issues, are so common. It seems like a theme comes out every week, and like you said, everybody's like, oh, gosh, yeah, I've had that issue too.
So, I mean, there wasn't a week that I didn't learn something. And even if sometimes I muted myself the whole call because I was at work or whatever, but I still listened in and I could still learn just by listening to other people's experiences. And so just the encouragement, the support, the feeling that you're not alone in this ever is kind of keeps you going till the next call.
It's true. And you're not. You're not alone ever. There's always somebody else who's out there, and that's where the forum, I think, comes in as handy as well.
Mm-hmm.
To keep you going throughout. So we'll have the discussion, we'll do a laser coaching, and then we have a closing exercise that we do at the end of every call. We'll do it at the end of this call. That's a series of four questions that we ask you. The way we've done the workbook, there's a page for you, for those of you who want to print it out for yourself, and some people do print it and sort of create your own workbook. You can answer the questions in that book. If not, I encourage you to have a journal or some place where you're keeping your notes in a consistent place. And so at the end of every call, we ask the same four questions for you to leave with some clarity and with an action plan. And again, we'll give you an example of that today. And then that's it. And we do all of that in an hour. It's a lot in an hour, and yet it doesn't feel crammed or stressed or any of that. And I just want to remind you or encourage you to ask for what you need, get the support you need from each other. If something's challenging or frustrating or not clear to you, let Diane or me know. One word about using the forum is we encourage you to write whatever you want to write, share your celebrations, ask questions, lean on each other, share your frustrations. If there's something you want to get my attention or Diane's attention, be sure to tag our name in it so that we definitely see that that post. Because while we both see most of them, if you want us to respond, if you're looking for input from us, it helps us if you tag us so we know. So I want to stop talking for a minute and give everybody a chance, give everybody else a chance. So let's go around and just introduce ourselves a little bit. And what I want to ask you to do is just, you know, name, rank, and serial number. Your name, where you're from, how many kids, what your kids' age is. And then, and this is a coaching skill called bottom line. I don't want to spend a long time talking about it, but identify, like, what's the challenge area that you really see yourself focusing on? What's bringing you to this program, and what do you want to see changed by the end of the year? So just a little sort of big picture or intention of what's got you here today. And Christy, since you're used to sharing and have already been forthright, will you get us started?
Sure. My name is Christy Baggett. I live in Texas. I have two children. My daughter is 15 and my son is 10. And my son is the one diagnosed with ADHD, and he's also diagnosed with adjustment disorder and oppositional defiance. And so he is why I am here, and we struggled for a lot of years, and last year just being in this program and getting the help and support that he needs in other avenues, mostly from a lot of things I learned from this group and the calls, he's had more growth and change in the last year than the 3 years combined before that. So it's definitely been a positive thing in our lives, and I'm looking forward to this year with more growth. I think Caleb's one of his biggest struggles is just the emotional intensity and the outbursts and anger that go with that. And so I'm continuing to work on that. And I would say the biggest thing I've learned is keeping myself under control and being stable and calm so that I don't feed into his intensity. So I want to keep working on that.
Great. So it's managing his and yours. And yours.
It's Lauren, can I go second?
Yeah, who's next?
Okay, can I go second with Lauren?
Sure.
Okay, just because I have to get in the car, it's easier for me to do it not in the car. My name is Lauren Houkin. I live in Florida. I have five children, two twin girls that are four, a six-year-old boy in kindergarten, an eight-year-old in third grade, and a 11-year-old in sixth grade. I'm constantly working on trying to manage everything, but my biggest thing is that my 8-year-old boy is very, you know, he takes up all the attention, kind of what Christy said, that he has the emotional, he can't regulate his emotions,
when he wants it, he wants it now. There's no negotiating. He likes to get everybody else riled up or get everybody else, you know, upset or crazy sometimes just because he's frustrated. He has a hard time when there's no structure, so weekends and vacations can be really hard. The temper tantruming. So, you know, it's very hard to run five children when you have one that's really that demanding.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So what's your, if you had to boil it down to one area, it sounds like emotional intensity is what you're working on managing with him. What's the one thing you'd like to see or accomplish? What's your intention for this year with this program?
I guess more peace in the house, like, and less worried about, like, when he's going to, like, flip again or when he's going to get upset and then, you know, just get everybody all riled up and, you know, ruin the weekend. It's very stressful on me to learn how to deal with all those things.
Got it. All right. Great. Thank you. Who's next?
Thank you.
I'll go next. This is Christine Strange here in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm actually home today with our son is homesick with a fever, so I'm just making sure he's not walking into my home office while I'm talking. But he is 13, and my goal is to, like Elaine and I discussed last week, just be a calm and competent parent, and that's actually my goal. That's my biggest goal for this year is just to make sure I always kind of stay calm and act like the adult. So,
yeah, even if you're not really, if you act that way, it makes all the difference in the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what do you feel like your son's biggest challenge is?
I think his biggest challenge is focusing on things that maybe he's not so interested in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, yeah. I think that's his, because when he has things he's extremely interested in, he can focus. But as a general rule, school is not his thing. So we're trying to hone in on that. I mean, he's very smart in science and math, but if it's not an interesting or fun science project or, you know, the day-to-day routine just kind of loses him.
Yeah,
so.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Okay, who else? Lynn, Donna, Kristen.
Kristen, I'll go next.
Go.
Okay, I'm Kristen Meeker, and I'm also in Atlanta. My daughter, Ariana, we call Ari, will be 7 on Saturday. Gosh, to hone in on one thing, That's hard. She has been diagnosed ADHD, and she's also been diagnosed dyslexic. So that is definitely one of my concerns right now. She's strong in math, but really struggling with reading. And so that's a big concern to me, is being able to help her with that and making sure she's successful and keep her self-esteem up, because I'm worried about her self-esteem. Not being able to do some of the things that her class, you know, other people in her class can do. And the calm, confident parent is definitely part of this as well for me.
Great. So you want to help her get the skills she needs and stay calm in the process.
Right. Like, you know, especially when it comes to homework.
Yeah. Well, and you can understand how frustrating it is for her because it's so hard for her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Great. Okay, thank you. So, Lynn?
Yes. I have a 22-year-old and I have a 10-year-old, and they're both very highly emotional people. My 10-year-old is diagnosed with attention deficit disorder and PTSD, and I need some learning. This, you know, problems with math and comprehension. We hadn't gotten evaluated yet on those, but she is 2 years behind in her grades. But emotionally, she's really where she needs to be, along with that peer group anyway. And So we're working on it. There is sundry of things. I want her to, her therapist is working with her on her social skills, and hopefully the school is focusing on the educational part. She and I need to make sure we understand each other's roles and rather than reversal. And I definitely need to be the calm, confident parent. And I'd like to have some separation of my work and my family life so that work isn't constantly bleeding over into my family time.
Okay. Calm, confident parent seems to be the theme, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. I think there's one more. Donna? Thank you, Lynn. Donna, you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Hi. My name is Donna, and I'm in Los Angeles, California. I have one boy. He's 8 years old in third grade. He was diagnosed with ADHD at age 6. The most struggles we have are actually in the school setting. So he has a lot of issues listening and following instructions. Also emotional regulation and, you know, accepting the situation when it does not go his way. Putting the right priorities. Like, for example, this morning we were already running late for school, and he had to get in because he needed to get some toys that he needed to play with while on the ride to school. So, you know, things like that. And what I was hoping to get out of these sessions are, you know, normally to be a better parent, be more educated in how to deal with, you know, different issues, and also so that I could eventually be his best advocate.
Great. Beautiful. Thank you all for that. I'm Elaine of Elaine and Diane, Elaine Taylor Klaus. My kids are now 13, 17, and 20, which is hard for me to say out loud. I also live in Atlanta. So I have two kids left in school. My 20-year-old graduated from high school a year and a half ago. Probably the longest, most difficult challenge of my life was getting that kid through and out of high school. She did not continue on to college. She is working as an actor in L.A. And
she's awesome.
Thank you. She is awesome. she's doing pretty well, so I can't really complain. Although I will tell you that as a parent, it's been a very hard road to come to terms with having a kid who is so outside the box. And there's no question that she wouldn't be doing what she's doing if I weren't doing what I'm doing. There's no question. There's no way we would have let her do what she did had we not been coaches and had exposure to this world. But I share that because we have some pretty complex kids amongst us, you know, and some of them are going to be able to figure out how to manage themselves and follow a more typical path. My middle child is a high school senior and applying to some of the, you know, high-end colleges in the world. She's a great, great student. She's the one, by the way, with both ADHD and dyslexia. So there's hope for your 7-year-old. And so some of our kids will be able to figure out how to manage their world and follow a traditional path. And then some of them are going to need to find their own path, and it may not be the path that you expected or your family expects. And so finding the way to support them in that and keep them safe and empowered in that so that they can still be successful is part of our challenge. These kids are definitely our challenge, and they're definitely our gift. And when we can hold on to both of those and remember there's a reason that they came to us, and it's our job to figure out what it is we're supposed to do to help them, it really helps. I think it enriches the whole family. So, and then I do have a younger son. I have a 13-year-old who's in eighth grade who has benefited a lot more than his oldest sister from my coaching, my being in this world. So he's probably got a lot of the same issues as his oldest sister, but he handles it better, and he's learned to manage himself better. and so he's able to do better in school. And he doesn't love it. He doesn't even like it very much. But he's learning how to accommodate and how to manage it. And that's, I mean, I can't really ask that much more than that, is that he's trying and he's owning it. And it's his work, not mine. And that's really the goal and what I want for all of your kids, is to help empower them to find what their path is, whatever that is. I often say that our kids, and you'll probably hear me say this again this year, our kids are specialists in a generalist's world. And so school is a generalist's experience. And so we have to get them through that so that they can figure out what their real specialty is. But it's hard. It's hard for them and it's hard for us. So we're going to hold each other's hand and get through it together, and give you some skills and some strategies and some space to really make clear decisions along the way. So thank you for trusting us and being here with us as part of this process.
Thank you.
So truly a pleasure and an honor. So here's what I want to do with the time we have left. I want to talk about the Parenting Action Model, which is the first section of the workbook. And, you know, most of you have probably gotten and had a chance to look through the workbook. And again, I do encourage you all before every call to try to look and see what the topic is that week. But we start with a model, and here's why. When Diane and I started doing this work, we both had the same experience that when we became coaches, we became better parents, and we realized this was something we could teach to parents. So we knew we wanted to teach this idea of a coach approach to parenting. But then we started to spend some time with ourselves and with our clients, getting really clear about what's the process? How do we use this to really affect change? And it's not enough to just say, wow, it really works, but we really wanted to unpack it and figure out what made it work. And so we created this model. Can everybody see it, or do you have a copy of the workbook? Or,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Is there anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about?
I don't, Lauren.
Okay. So I'm trying to think about how to so, Lauren, are you very visual? Will you be able to process what I'm saying if you're not looking at something?
I'll try. I'm driving a car, too, but I'll try to visual.
Oh, you're driving a car, so you couldn't look at it anyway. Okay, so make sure you look at it later and just try to process along. So basically what we did first is we identified what we see as the six areas of impact. These are the places all of our families tend to be struggling when we're managing issues of ADD, executive function, et cetera. I'm sorry, what was that?
That's the circle.
You got it.
Okay, I saw that. I'm sorry.
Great. No, you're good. It's good. Okay, so we've all gotten pretty clear. We've hit a bunch of the challenge areas just in the conversation already today. Emotionality and impulsivity comes up a huge amount, particularly with the age of the kids that are in this group. Disorganization, challenging on relationships, getting some of life's logistics managed, school challenges, and then the one that we think is so important that too often gets missed is the impact on the parent. And so we're looking at all six of these issues when we're trying to figure out what we want to address. And we want to encourage you, as you begin to take aim, to start with that circle of the six different issues and get clear, what do I really want to focus on? At any given coaching call, whether it's a group call or a private session, the more you can get specific about the challenge you're facing, the more you can change what you're dealing with. And so we start with the six key challenge areas, and we don't want to forget that sometimes it is the impact on us as parents, and that it may not be, like several of you talked about, wanting to be calm and confident, wanting peace in the home. Sometimes the impact is not whether or not he gets his homework done, but it's about how do I feel at the end of the night when I put my head down on the pillow about how I parented today. So that's every bit as important a part as everything else. So we start with the six key challenge areas, and then, as I mentioned earlier, we take aim. And so this is the model. We start by taking aim, getting very specific about the challenge we want to address. And then the next step is what we call education. And education, information, collecting evidence, call it what you will, it's about getting full information. So you know, we tend to be fairly well educated by this point about the ADD or executive function. But for any given challenge we're looking at, we want to get educated about what's going on with that challenge. So somebody throw out for me one challenge that we might just play with for this exercise. What's one challenge you're facing in your home?
The morning routine.
Morning routine. Can you be more specific?
Getting your kid out the door.
Or out of the bed.
When we're talking, so break it down. Are we talking about, when you say morning routine, is it getting out of bed and getting dressed, or is it getting breakfast in
yes.
or getting out the door?
Yes.
Wait, choose
yes,
one.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so choose one.
Yes.
I would just say just staying on task and getting out of bed, getting downstairs for breakfast.
Okay, so getting out of bed and downstairs at a particular time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So do you hear how that's taking aim way more specifically than morning routine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Once you get that, then you can begin to come up with some solutions and strategies for it because it's more targeted and more specific. So then we start collecting information. What do we know about how the child wakes up? We're not going to coach through this one specifically necessarily, but what do we know about how this child wakes up? Is he or she woken up, or are you waking them up? Do they have an alarm? Do they wake up grumpy? Do they wake up playful? Well, you start collecting all the information about how they wake up. Are they not getting enough sleep? I had one client that I worked with who their entire family dynamic changed when we realized the kid was waking up and wanted to play, and so the dad started tickling him awake. Because it was a sensory kid who needed that physical connection, and he was a playful kid who needed to laugh, and everything in their family changed. He was 8 years old at the time, just by tickling him awake, right? And I'm not saying everybody should go tickle your kid awake. But when we collected information, we realized he was waking up actually playful. He wasn't waking up grumpy. He was waking up wanting to hug and cuddle. So he wanted to stay in bed and cuddle. Well, there was a physical need that he had, right? So do you see what I mean by collecting information?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going in and waking him up and turning on the lights and going out and going and blow-drying your hair, or are you waking him up and coming in and saying, good morning, how was your night's sleep? Like, there are all these different pieces to just that little time frame of getting up and getting out of bed, right? So step two is to collect information to get educated about the full thing, not only what your experience is around it, but also what your child's experience. So that's why we look at, is he waking up grumpy? Is he waking up playful? Is he really not waking up because he's really still asleep? We had some people on the forum this week that were saying that some people who give their kids medication, that they actually wake their kids up, give them the medication, and then let them go back to sleep for half an hour. So by the time they get up, they've had a chance to have a little brain support on board. So actually that brings us to the next section. So we collect information, and then we start to plan. And in our planning, there are four critical responses, and we're going to be talking about those in the next 4 weeks. And these four critical responses are what we use to look at every challenge that we're facing. So anytime we have a problem, let's say it's getting up in the morning, we're then going to look at, is it about activating the brain? Is it about parenting positively? Is it about shifting expectations or using systems and structures? Those are the four critical response areas, and absolutely every challenge you face can be addressed by at least one, if not a combination of those factors. Now, how many of those do most of you feel like you usually try a lot? Of those four, activate the brain, parenting positively, shifting expectations, and using systems and structures. What's the one that most of us use most often?
I use them all.
Great. Anybody else? That's great.
I learned to use shifting expectations in the beginning the most.
Okay. So you've learned to. What did you start with before that? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's cool. Anybody else have a thought about what we tend to towards most?
I just put in, and I feel like I do shifting expectations
Okay.
A lot. Maybe I think I almost overdo it.
All right. Well, and so it may, for you, it may be about working on setting realistic or reasonable expectations.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody else?
This is Lauren. I think for a long time we just felt like he had to follow the rules, and I wasn't really on board, but my husband would just yell and scream and, like, you know, torture him until he would do it. But I think that was just like that.
Yeah, that, yeah. It has limited effectiveness, doesn't it? So it's interesting that nobody said using systems and structures, which is probably what I hear most of all from parents, is that they use systems and structures and then get upset that it's not working. And so a lot of what we're going to be talking about here is how to use systems and structures in the context of the other three, whether it's activating the brain, parenting positively, or shifting or setting realistic expectations. We want to get to a point where we're using structures, but that we're using them in a way that makes sense. So if the issue is that the brain's not engaged and the kid needs more sleep or medication or nutrition or whatever, then you might create a structure around that, but you don't want to start with the structure. You want to start with the underlying issue. Does that sort of make sense to everybody? Great. Somebody has joined us. I just want to, I know we're in the middle, so we're not going to stop and go back, but I do want to find out who's here with us.
Hi, my name is Megan.
Hello, Megan.
And sorry I missed the time when I looked at the email on my cell phone. The times, they didn't appear or something. So I was wondering because there
can
are
I,
multiple
Can I just stop you and then let's, when we're done with the call, you and I can stay on for a minute and...
Great, thanks.
Okay, great. So we're talking about step three of the model, which is planning. And in the planning stage, we look at those four critical responses. So whatever the challenge is, so we talked about the challenge of getting him out of bed. Is there a way that activating the brain could, might be a part of how to address that?
This is Lauren. I had a question.
What?
You know, everything I've done, I said, why does this kid need so much work? Like, that's what I've been thinking, is why do I need to come up with plans and activities and constantly planning around him? But I think that's really what it's all about, right, from what you're saying? Is that
yeah,
these kids really do much more.
That's exactly what we're saying, is that these are kids for whom they don't learn just by watching and typically the way they're typically developing peers are. They have to learn by being taught differently, and we have to understand what's happening with them neurologically and treat them like it's neurological, not like it's naughty, right? And figure out how to address every challenge that comes up one by one. And so that's what this model is about, is how do you address each challenge one by one. So the example that somebody gave of getting out of bed, right? We could address it by activating the brain. You could give your kid, if you give your child medicine, you might do it earlier. You might use peppermint oil to help a child wake up. That'll activate the senses. You might start with protein first thing in the morning. So there are different ways that you could address that by activating the brain, making sure he gets enough sleep, right? You can address it by parenting positively, by being supportive, understanding that it's difficult for him, being compassionate. We'll talk more about this in the coming weeks. You can set the realistic expectation that it might be difficult to get this kid up in the morning, and so maybe you need an extra 15 minutes. Or maybe there's going to need, maybe it's not reasonable to expect a 7-year-old to set his alarm and get up and get dressed by himself, right? So that's where you can address it. And then obviously, morning routine lends itself quite well to using systems and structures. But you want to use those systems with an understanding of all of those other considerations. Is this making sense to everybody so far?
Yes.
Yes.
It's Lauren.
Okay, good. So then the next two steps, I guess, is step four is to take action. You know, you've come up with a plan. You've figured out what you want to try to do. Then you take action. And then step five is rinse and repeat. And we think that's really important because it's not always going to work the first time. In fact, it's often not going to work the first time. So we want to make sure that we're looking at it from a perspective of, okay, let's try this, see if it works. If not, let's see how we can change it or tweak it to make it work instead of just throwing up our hands and saying, well, that didn't work, right? So rinse and repeat is a really important part. It's about tweaking and changing and what we call failing forward. We'll talk about that later in the series. Really learning to see what's working and see what's not and then change it without throwing up our hands. And then it also means that once we've really accomplished that, let's say you got them getting up out of bed, great. Rinse and repeat means, okay, now it's time to start over and we choose a new topic, take aim again, and we start over again. So now we're going to work on getting them down to breakfast, right? So that's a quick overview of the parenting action model. And we're going to go through each of those sections, starting with taking aim. I think we're with the four critical response areas. Actually, we will take aim at the end of every call, at the beginning of every call. So we're going to start with the critical response areas, and we will go through each of those. And then throughout the year, we're going to go through them again with different strategies attached to them. So you'll begin to see different ways to apply them. And Christy, that's what will be different for you this year is that we've sort of shifted the order of how we're addressing things and how we're organizing it a little bit to make it even more, to really reinforce these concepts a little bit better. Because at the end of this year, what we want is for any time you guys have a challenge for you to say, okay, what would I do? What's the action model? Where am I taking aim? What do I need to understand about it? What are the four different critical response areas before you get to action? And that's, we want to get this model sort of part of your everyday activity because it becomes quicker and quicker as you get comfortable with it. So are there any questions about it?
I have one question this morning. I don't know if we can answer it, but I just want to know what your opinion is on if it's a benefit to get your kid tested and get diagnoses, or is it just fine if you just want to keep working on it and fixing it? Do you need to go and get the whole medical diagnosis and find out exactly what's wrong, or if you just know that you're dealing with these issues, that's enough?
Lauren, what I'd love to do is table that. I can't answer that right now. I'm happy to email with you about it, and it'd be a great question for you to post in the forum and get other parents' input on it. And then I will, when you post it in the forum, we'll make sure to get you on the forum, then I will give you some links to some articles to look at it and think about it as well, because it's not a quick answer.
Okay.
Cool. And I want to be mindful of everybody's time today. Generally speaking, you know, I've just gone through a little teaching about the parenting action model. This is when I would want to encourage you to engage in a discussion with me about it, okay? We don't have time today, and that was sort of expected, but I do want to remind you that your connection, your engagement in the conversation is part of what brings this group to life. And so I don't want you to think that it's just me talking for 45 minutes. It's really, I want it to be an active, interactive experience with all of you. And of course I said that and then I didn't allow a lot of time for that today, but forgive me for the first day. So that's sort of the structure and groups. And then the end of the session, and we're going to do this exercise now, we always end our calls with these four questions. So if there are no more questions for now about the parenting action model, and of course there's times to have an opportunity to ask about it, but just sort of one more final call for questions or comments on that now before we close up. Okay. So the final four questions that we ask every week are some variation of this. First question is, what did I learn or get clear about today? And the second is, how can I apply it in my life right now? The third is, what's one realistic action step for me to take? And the fourth is, how can I set up myself for success? So I want everybody to just take a minute. Like, what did you learn? What were you focusing on today? What clarity did you have today? Feel free to share it. If anybody has, like, what's your takeaway from today? What's your one aha? What did you get clear on?
This is Christy. I'll go. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just had an aha moment. I'm not sure who just was talking about a second ago, and I talked about, you know, getting the diagnosis versus not, and do you just keep going and fix it? And last year, I would have probably said the exact same thing. So it was an aha moment for me, just how much I've learned in the last year, because ADHD, if you have that diagnosis, is a lifetime. And so we're learning how to manage it and focus on the positives, and it's not something we're ever going to fix in the, you know, the definition of fix or whatever. But that was aha for me, because that changed how I approached my son when I changed that attitude in myself.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. It's incredibly powerful, and it's a huge gift that you're giving him, because you'll be able to look to him to empower him to be successful when you understand that this is who he is and he's got to learn to manage it just like you do.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? What's coming up for you? What are you taking away from today's conversation?
This is Christine, again, from Atlanta. I will say that the biggest thing I've learned is you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good, because sometimes you kind of feel like, oh, like, is anybody else feeling the way I'm feeling? Again, I think just learning the skill to stay calm, breathe, and just take time out is what I want to learn from this whole thing.
Right.
Just take some time out.
Great. Super. Who else? What's your takeaway so far from today?
This is Kristen, and for me, it's just an understanding of how this is going to work. That
okay.
in itself is just understanding.
Okay. Any questions come up, or is it fairly clear?
I think it's pretty clear.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Good to know. Lots of plates in the air, so it's nice to know that it's clear. Anybody else? Donna or Lynn or Lauren? What's
yeah.
your takeaway?
Yeah, hi, this is Donna. So on the parenting action model that you went over, so the step 5 where you do the wash, rinse, repeat, so I guess it's more of a confirmation that it's never always going to work
yeah.
first time, second time.
Because
I have attended parenting classes before where a lot of the techniques have been taught to me, but it was just hard to implement them when you, you know, say it worked for 2 days and then the third, fourth, they don't. So
yeah.
I guess just a confirmation that it's always going to be a continuous work and it's not going to be consistent all the time.
That's
so.
Right. It's critical. And what I love about what you're pointing to is that's where coaching is different from just plain training. Because the training, they'll say, here, try this. And then when it stops working, you're sort of left with, well, now what do I do? And what coaching is all about is saying, okay, well, that didn't work. How can I change it? How can I tweak it? What do I need to do? Because if it worked for a couple of days, it could probably work again, right? So that's the piece we want to get you is just what you're saying is, you know, to engage in it, to wrestle with it and not walk away from it, but to stay with it until you help it work. So great. Thank you. And Lynn or Lauren?
This is Lynn. I just like she said, just that we're not alone. That support that other people are having trouble just getting a child out of the bed and out the door. But,
right. And it wasn't you suggesting it, right? Somebody else came up
no,
with it.
Yeah, that was what was so wonderful. I didn't even have to say it. And what was so neat, though, about today, this morning, it wasn't even a struggle, and I didn't even do anything. All I did was put her to bed at the
But you did something to get her to bed at a and that's part of the information, is maybe it's just, is she getting enough sleep, right?
Right.
That's
yeah.
great. And Lauren, are you still there? Thank you.
Yeah. I would say, like, that was, like, one of my things, too. Like,
you know, Eric used to kick and scream and flip out, and it would be like a temper tantrum every morning, and that was like, it was painful every morning, you know, throwing him in the car, screaming and yelling, worrying if you can open the door, even on the way to school. So
yep.
That was like really long way, but that was really hard. So I guess like my whole takeaway is that like really this is not just like I've been tweaking and tweaking, but wondering why I'm tweaking for this one kid all the time, and why is it that I'm constantly plan, you know? So now I see it.
Sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, I was saying that I've been tweaking and tweaking every day, trying to come up with a better plan that works, and I see that this is not temporary. This is going to be a long time. You know, I just didn't understand why this one kid is, you know, needs to have everything changed and you know, structured and everything so much for, you know, just him. But I see now that I think it's going to be a long time.
Yeah. So the language that Diane and I use for that a lot is it's about taking a marathon view.
It's what?
It's a marathon view. You're in this for a marathon, not a sprint.
Oh, no. Okay, thank you.
All right.
I'd like to talk at some point, like as a group or like, or you should bring up, is how do you deal with it with the siblings and the husband and whatever? So even if you're really on target, the siblings and the husband may not, and the family members may not.
Well, one step at a time. Let's get you understanding what's going on, and then over time we'll begin to work with the others. So everybody's gotten clear on your takeaway, and usually I would ask you to make a commitment of one change you want to make this week. And we're running way late, and because we had sort of a theoretical topic today, I'm not going to ask you to share that with the group, but I would like everybody to ask yourself, what's one thing I'm going to do differently this week, in the next 2 weeks, or in the next week, because our next call is actually next week. And make a commitment to yourself, and if you want to post it on the forum, that would be fabulous. It's a great place to use each other for accountability and for feedback. Again, thank you all for coming, for joining the community, for committing to your family and to your kids, and most of all, thanks for committing to doing something for yourself. And unless anybody has any other questions or comments, I think we're going to call it a wrap for the day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Megan, thanks, everybody. Megan, why don't you stay on, and let's chat for a quick second, all right?
Great, thanks.
Cool. So sorry for any confusion. Emails because we realized.
Sorry.
It's pretty typical. That's why this week is pretty introductory. What I would encourage you to do is look at the list of calls and choose another call that you can go to this week. Or when we have this one online, you can listen to this. But it's probably just as easy to choose another call.
Okay.
If you have the time to do it.
Yes, I think that I can attend tomorrow.
Great. So if you can attend tomorrow, great. If not, these will be up on the website. I told everybody to get into the members login section. Have you been there yet?
Yes.
Okay. So you know how to get in, Success 2014. Hang on. I just realized I got to turn this off. Sorry, one second. I'm having a